Welcome, everyone. It's wonderful to be here. I want to thank Ted and Jess doing such a great job leading our singing, and Karen for advancing the slides. She does a great job, and really appreciate that. If you'll open your Bible to Matthew chapter 7, we're going to be looking at some things here about the two paths of life and staying on the right path. Life is largely about that. And Scripture shows us that there are always two paths for us to be on. And we have to be on one of those two paths. And the choices that we make today determine tomorrow in our lives. So we're going to take some time and think about this morning. You know, this was really driven home to me back in my first year of college. I was attending college down in Tampa, Florida area. And my roommate that year was a young man from Birmingham, Alabama, named Billy Dickinson. And Billy had a brand new car. It was a beautiful red Chevy 2 Nova Super Sport. And it was coming up on Thanksgiving holiday weekend. And a lot of the kids were planning how they were going to go home to see their families. Of course, I lived in California, and I was going to be able to go home. Billy felt sorry for me, I think. And he said, "How would you like to go home with me, you know, to Birmingham, see my family? That way you not have to be here all by yourself in the dorm." And so I thought, great, yeah, that's really nice. And so I accepted. Well, on Wednesday, that the classes got out early around noon. And so we went back to the room and got our things ready, and we headed out for Birmingham. And Billy was driving, and I was in the passenger side. And you know, we were making great time. We got up into northern part of Florida there, and some little town. We were headed for Tallahassee, and then going on up through the corner of Georgia, and on up into Birmingham, Alabama. We knew it would probably be a 10 or 11 hour drive. We'd maybe hopefully get there around midnight. So we got up to this little town in northern Florida, and we were getting hungry, and so we stopped at a hamburger stand along the road there and got something to eat. And Billy said, "How would you like to take over and drive for a while? And I will try to get a little sleep, and then I'll be wake up, and I can drive all the way from there on up to Birmingham." So I said, "Sure." And so we switched places, got back in the car, and took off. And I saw the highway sign there, and so I turned right and headed out of town. And never thought about it that going to Alabama from the direction we were headed, turning right wasn't really going to be the way that we were supposed to be going. But we, Billy, first thing, he was sound asleep, and I was driving along and just enjoying the scenery and all the farms and things along the way, and going through the little towns, you know, and I was driving for an hour and a half, and noticed the train coming across the road, and, the lights flashing, and so I slowed down for the train crossing. And the bells were clanging, and so Billy woke up, you know, from his sleep, and he kind of looks up and he says, "Where are we?" And he said, "Are we to Tallahassee yet?" And I said, "Well, no, but we're probably getting close, making really good time." And so the train went on by, and we started across, and we saw a sign there. It says Gainesville, 12 miles. And Billy was about to go back to sleep, and he sat back up, and he said, "Did that say Gainesville?" He said, "We're not going to Gainesville. We're going to Tallahassee." And And I thought, oh no, I did something wrong here. So come to find out that I have been driving an hour and a half toward the Atlantic Ocean. I'm sure I would have woke up when we got to the Atlantic Ocean and realized something was wrong, but Billy said, you better let me take over. So he got back in the driver's seat, and we got up on the interstate there, headed for Tallahassee, and Billy just gunned it, you know. And so he was trying to make up for lost time, and I looked over there a couple of times, and that, you know, the speedometer needle was all the way on the right-hand side. And we were just going by cars like this, one after the other. And I noticed that Billy wasn't really in a talkative mood either. So I didn't say anything. But about an hour or so later, hour and a half maybe later, sure enough, here comes a Florida state trooper. Two of them, in fact. And one stops us in front of the car and one behind the car. And they get out and they said, you know, we've been chasing you guys for 2 hours now. And so that night about 10 o'clock, instead of coming into Birmingham, we were sitting in the sheriff's office in this little town of northern Florida there. And we could look in through the door and see the jail cells back there. Anyway, he was really nice, and he knew that we really didn't have any record or anything, and he let us make some phone calls, and we were able to come up with the money to pay the fine and so forth. But I realized that one turn that I made when I pulled out from the Dairy Queen there and made that right turn, if I had gone left, none of that would have happened. It really was all my fault for taking the wrong turn. And in life, that is really the thing that I am wanting to talk about this morning, is how important it is in life to make the right choice and to get on the right path and stay on the right path, because it's so easy. It's so easy in life to get off that right path as we go through. And Jesus talks here in Matthew chapter 7 about these two paths of life. And he said, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So that's why it's so important to give careful thought to the consequences of the decisions that we are making. I know we've all made mistakes in life that we wish we could reverse, and God is very gracious with us. And many times we make those choices and we're not able to see the end result. But if we were, we would never make that choice in life. We're thankful that Christ has given us clear direction here. As he is explaining to us more about the end results of these choices that we make in life, so that we can have the ability to make the best choice and avoid those painful consequences that it would otherwise bring upon us. So he speaks here about these two paths of life and the final destination that they will bring you to in your life. So he contrasts the small gate and the wide gate and the differences between them. And then he goes on to talk about the wise and foolish builders, the difference between having what sounds like a good profession behind our faith and actually producing the fruit in your life. Those two choices, those two paths that we come to, that we have to make a decision. And so what Jesus is saying is that in our lifetime, we must walk one or the other of these two paths. There are only two. Jesus narrows it down from all the many choices out there that it's really just two choices, two pathways that you are going to be taking in life. One or the other. And you have to be on one. You cannot avoid this decision that you have in your life. One is going to lead to life. One is going to lead to destruction. And therefore, it is so important that we choose wisely. That is why the Bible, I believe, speaks so much as it does about the importance of wisdom in your life. In the book of Proverbs, it tells us over and over again, you need wisdom. You have to have wisdom to make the right choices in your life. In Proverbs 4 and verse 5, he says, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Yesterday was my mother's 100th birthday. And I remember many times my mother teaching me about this very thing, about wisdom and choosing the right choice, making the right choice in your life, and thinking about the consequences of those choices that you're making. And telling me, you know, for example, when I was in school, she would tell us in advance, she said, now, when you're in school, they're going to be saying, reading from the textbook, that we came about through evolution. And they're going to be asking you that question on the test. So she said, here's what you do. You put in on the test. You say, now the textbook says that here's how we came through the evolution process. But here's what I believe, that what the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, and that we are created in the image of God. So that's what I did in school. And she told me many times, she said, now you're going to have your friends. Your friends are going to be telling you to come with them and go do this. And you know it's not the right thing to do. So you have to be strong. You have to make your choice to choose the right path in life. So I was really blessed to have a mother that taught me those things early on in my life. Now, as he describes this here, Jesus describes the differences between these two paths, saying that we're going to be on one or the other. And so before we choose, we need to understand the characteristics, where these two paths are going to lead. So he begins by talking about the broad way, and he says the wide gate, the broad way, is going to be an open path, an open gate. And what it is, it offers freedom to you in your life. And you can believe whatever you want. You can believe in any religion. You can believe in any philosophy. You have anything. Everything is welcome. Everything is fine. Everything is accepted. And so it's a very appealing path. And many people are on this path. Many people choose this route just for that very reason. It offers them the freedom to do what they want to do and go wherever they desire to go. But this is an ungodly path, this broad way. Those who travel on this path don't want anyone telling them how to live their life. And Satan is leading people down this path. He is encouraging them to live this kind of an undisciplined, free lifestyle, to do whatever they want to do. So it's like being on the freeway. There's many people going down this path in life, and they think it's great. They think, look at all the things we can do, the freedom that we can have. But Jesus says it's a path of darkness. This path is going to lead to darkness. And in Proverbs chapter 4 here, which I mentioned a moment ago, Solomon talks about that very thing, how this path leads to darkness. He says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 10, "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fail. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. But the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." So it is a path of darkness. It may sound good. It does sound good. And yet it is a path that leads you further and further down the way to darkness. It is a path of disappointment in life. This broad path, it does not deliver what it promises us at the end. The people who are traveling on this path, they try to convince themselves that it's good following your own desires, making them happy, whatever they want to be doing. But ultimately, it results in bondage. And bondage to sin. Disappointment, disillusion in a person's life. It does not bring that happiness that it promises it will bring. And ultimately, it is a path that ends in destruction. It does not lead to life, but just the opposite. But then Jesus turns it around and he begins to show us that there is the narrow way. And he calls for us to take that narrow path in life. And in this path, you see, there is no mixture of religion. This is a path that says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." It is a path that is very clear. There's one way. There's one way to life. It's through Jesus Christ. And so don't listen to any other that is out there. This is a path that requires discipline in your life. It is a path that in order to find happiness, there has to be discipline. There has to be direction that we accept and we come to love. Actually, the discipline and the direction of life that God provides for us. In Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, if you have your Bible, I would encourage you to turn over here now to Psalm 1, 1 and 2. And we'll look at this for a moment, because this also illustrates how important it is, the choices in life that we are making. Because he said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Just like Jesus, David, the psalmist here, says there's only two paths in life. And there is the path of the righteous, there is the path of the wicked. And so he tells us here that if we allow the things of this world to grab our attention and all the things that the world offers to us, then we're going to drift away from God. And it may not happen overnight. It may not be intentional. But we see that there's a process that once we go down that path, we are drifting further away from God, and we're going to become more and more deeply involved in the things of this world. And so he says, "Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly." And that's where it starts, walking in the counsel of the ungodly. When we begin to forsake our godly wisdom, like what my mother was teaching me. If you were to choose to say, well, I know that sounds so strict though, and to begin to forsake that wisdom and seek out from the world. Sometimes this happens with young people. They've grown up in their home with their parents, and everything has been, you know, going to church and being taught the right way. But then they get out on their own, and they're with their friends out in the world, and they begin to listen to them. And they begin to hear things like, you've lived a sheltered life. You know, there's so much more out here to enjoy in life. And so it begins when we begin to walk in the counsel of the ungodly and listen to that other message appealing. Come on, you need to go and see what's out here in the world. And then he says, nor stands in the path of sinners. If we do not spend time in the Bible and refreshing our thoughts and making our minds conform to God's words and His will and renewing our minds in that way, then we begin to stand in the way of sinners. We become more and more connected to the world. And instead of opposing the ungodly viewpoint, we begin to embrace it. So then he says, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And that is the final step, where instead of listening or standing, now we are sitting. Sitting usually means that we have come into a position that we are very comfortable with that, and we're all in on the other side of God. And he said, we're sitting in the seat of scornful mockers. And once a person gets to that point, the tendency that we have is then to actively put down God and His Word and the way of life that God teaches. So you come full circle. You begin to listen to those voices, and then you start standing with them. You take your stand on that side. And then eventually you sit down there and you become part of the mockers who are actually tearing down God and His ways. So he says, but his delight, see, he's talking about the righteous person, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, he meditates day and night. He goes on to say that these people are like chaff who are blown away by the wind. They're nothing. They have no substance. They have no foundation in their life. On the other hand, the one who delights in the law of the Lord, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So we have to be intentional about pursuing God in our life. We have to be planted. We have to be fruitful and strong to stand and stay in this path. Jesus says that this is the way of the few, the minority. Have you ever noticed that godly people today, just like has always been true, are in the minority? That when you live for God, you find yourself that you're in the minority everywhere you go. And so it's difficult that way. There, when Jesus was on the earth, you think back about Jesus Himself, the Son of God, was here. There were only a few people, really, who were His faithful followers, His faithful disciples. Those that were standing beside the cross when He died. Many of those people evaporated when the heat was on, when the pressure was on. That it's always been a narrow path, few people on that path, but it is the path of wisdom. Like Solomon speaks about that, the path of wisdom, that you listen to this godly wisdom and this godly counsel, and you stay on that path in life, That leads to the shining light. He describes it being like the sun coming up, and it is going up into the sky to the highest of the zenith of the sun of the day, is the brightest time. That your life will be that way when we listen to the wisdom of God. And we get on that path and we stay on that path, your life is going to be blessed in so many ways. So it's the path of following Jesus, following Christ. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. Now both paths lead to judgment ultimately. Both the narrow path and the broad path, we end up being before the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment of God. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Hebrews 9, 27 and 28, he says, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Whether we are on the narrow path or the broad path, we still come to stand before the judgment of God someday. But those of us who are with Christ, we stand before the judgment seat. We have been washed in the blood of Christ. We are righteous. We're holy because of He has forgiven our sins. But those people who have rejected Christ, they come and stand before the judgment seat, and they have walked in their life and their sins, and they stand before God. So there's no excuse when they come before the judgment of God for the judgment that God will give, a righteous and holy judgment that will be given. But we'll each stand before that. But the difference is that those who are in Christ, we stand before Him cleansed of our sins. Now, it's possible, though, that the Christian can fall back into sin, can be drawn back into the world, and lose that grip upon their firm pathway that they have chosen. Everyone who becomes a Christian comes because they see this path. They see Christ as our Savior. And they make that choice, and they're baptized into Christ, and they begin that living that way of life. But the world has an appeal in our life, and it can begin to draw us back in if we are not careful, if we are not diligent in our life. So that is where in Galatians chapter 5, Paul writes about this, and he says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now, it's not possible to walk both paths at the same time. And yet some Christians try to do this. Some Christians try to go back to the lifestyle of the broad path, but thinking that they can still somehow stay on the narrow path with Christ. We know that we each have the capacity to sin because we are in the flesh. As long as we're in this body, we're in the flesh. And the natural desires are there, the appeal of sinful things. And we have to be able to separate those and walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit of God in your life. And put those desires to death. Those sinful passions and those sinful desires. But it's always going to be a battle for us. And God is on our side, and He helps us with overcoming temptation. We pray, we ask for help, and God is faithful, and He will help us. Now, we might occasionally sin through our weakness, But we should not let it become a habitual practice in our life with God's help. We stay on the path. We stay living for the Lord in our life. This is the most important decision that we make in life. It's going to lead to either salvation or being lost eternally. It's the most important decision we will ever make. And so Christ gives us the guidance to distinguish whether we are walking on the broad path or on the narrow path. Which one are we on this morning, each one of us? Are we able to know which path we are traveling? Jesus says that by their fruits you will know them. By their fruits you will know them. Jesus says that people are not known by just the professing of I am a Christian, I love the Lord. He speaks of that here. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. It's not just the saying, I believe in Christ. I want to go to heaven. I am a Christian. I was baptized. That's not what counts. It's the fruit of your life. Look at the fruit. So believing in Christ is more than just a mental assent. Just saying, yes, I believe in Jesus. That's good, but that's not what God looks at. Ultimately, God looks at your life, the fruit of your life. And he will say to some, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. He says that those who hear my words and do them, they're like a man who builds his house upon the rock. The winds came, the floods descended, fell upon that house, and it stood. Because it was founded on the rock. Those who hear my words and do not do them is like a man who built his house on the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, they beat upon that house, and it fell, for it was founded on the sand. You look at those two lives, though, outwardly, they look alike. Those two individuals, those two people. They both say, we're Christians. We know the Lord. We follow the Lord. One, though, is hearing the word of Christ week in and week out. But they're not doing it. They're building their house on the sand. The test is going to come in each one of our lives. So what is determining the course of your life? It's the decisions, the choices you're making today is going to determine your tomorrow. Eternally, your eternal destiny is determined out of those choices you're making today. It's good that we're hearing the word of Christ. God is giving us every resource. He's giving us everything through His word to know the choice, how to find that path, how to stay on that path. But then we have the choice. Ultimately, is in our court. To choose, are we going to follow those words of Christ? Are we going to hear them, but then go and not do them? By their fruits, you will know them. So he said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. See, he doesn't see God's word as a duty. He sees it as a delight. He loves the law of the Lord. He wants to, he can't get enough of it. He thrives upon hearing and reading and meditating. Not just reading the Bible, but thinking about it. How does this apply? What do I need to change? How can I grow in this area of my life? What is God telling me here? That's the person he says, that's on the narrow path, that's going to find life, that is like the tree planted by the river, is strong, the roots are deep. He is able to stand and bear fruit, and whatever he does in life will prosper. His life is like the shining sun, getting brighter and brighter till the middle of the day. The other person, he's going down the path. Everybody's going down that path, but it's getting darker and darker and darker. And it gets to the point that he no longer has any conscience. He no longer has any ability. That's the path he's on. So this is a serious choice that we make, which path we're going to follow in life. Now David in Psalm 17 says something that's very encouraging to me. He says, "You have tried my heart. I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped." He's talking about there the way that when you're going down the path, if there is someone that has gone down that path before, the wheel tracks are there. And you get in those wheel tracks and you can stay on that path. So he said, "I have purposed that I am determined. I'm going to stay on that path. God knows my heart. He knows my words. He knows everything about me. But I'm going to keep my path steadfast on that path. And my feet are not going to slip." That's the determination we have to have in life so that we remain focused and remain strong in this way of life. Thank you for your attention today. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, then I encourage you to think about those things, the diligence, the steadfastness. If you're not in Christ, then I want to appeal to each one of us that's here to come and give your life to Christ and make that choice to build on that solid foundation that He sets before us. So if you're here this morning and subject to the invitation of Jesus, we're going to stand and sing the invitation song. And we invite you to come as we stand.